Amen, amen. Well, as we go into the Word of God this morning, calm down. You guys are a little bit too excited in church. That's a good problem, right? Good problem. I hope you all are well today, because if you're not, you will be after this Word. I will. Isaiah chapter 19, we're going to go there this morning. Isaiah chapter 19. I'm going to read something that's, you're going to be like, what does this all mean? But I'll bring it together, I promise. Isaiah chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. The Word of God says, a word or an oracle concerning Egypt. Can I just say one thing about this, just real quick before I start? Did you know that God concerns Himself with you? That's what all this is about. So it's not like God has forgotten you or rejected you. In fact, the Lord wants to give you a word, not only because He loves you, but is concerned for you in your life. So the Bible says a word concerning Egypt. See, the Lord rides on a swift cloud, and is coming to Egypt. The idols of Egypt will tremble before Him, and the hearts of the Egyptians melt within them. I will stir up Egyptian against Egyptian, brother will fight against brother, neighbor against neighbor. So God is talking about strife here. Kingdom against kingdom. Verse 3, the Egyptians will lose heart, and I will bring their plans to nothing. And they will consult the idols and the spirits of the dead, the mediums and the spiritists. I will hand the Egyptians over to the power of the cruel master, and fierce king will rule over them, declares the Lord, the God Almighty. The waters of the river will dry up, the riverbed will be parched and dry, the canals will stink, the streams of Egypt will dwindle and dry up, the reeds and the rushes will wither, also the plants along the Nile and the mouth of the river. Every sown field along the Nile will become parched, will blow away, and be no more. The fishermen will groan and lament, all who cast hooks into the Nile. Those who throw nets on the water will pine away. Those who work with flax will despair. The weavers of fine linen will lose hope. The workers in cloth will be dejected, and all the wages earned. Notice, all the wage earners, all of them, will be sick at heart. Now, when we look at this, it sounds like, what is going on here? I don't understand, but the Egyptians were known for their strength. They were known for their power. They were known for their wisdom. They had one of the strongest armies. They were powerful. They had some of the smartest, wisest people working for the kingdom. So they were just known as a great influence. They were known for their diversity, their power, everything. So the world will look to them. But notice something about this. All of a sudden, they began to just have all these problems. They began to just fight with one another. There was strife. There was division. There was a strong, severe famine and drought. There was hunger. Everything was just falling apart. And I began to read this week, and I said, Lord, what were you thinking here? What were you trying to do? You see, through their lifestyle, their idol worshiping, their dependence on their own strength, it was a clear indication to God that they did not need Him. So let me tell you how God works. God sees how you live. He also sees what you depend on. And if the Lord begins to notice that you're prideful, if He begins to notice that you don't longer need Him, and if He begins to see that you think you're all wise and all knowing, the Lord has a great way of humbling you. The Lord has a fantastic way of reminding you that you need Him. So the Lord allowed all these severe trials in their life to remind them that they were weak, they were powerless, and they were foolish. And in all this struggle, it wasn't because God was so angry he wanted to destroy them. It's because God was so loving, he needed to remind them. And I believe as I read this, the Lord was impressing on my heart that we often can act like this. We can begin to look at our accomplishments and look at our gifts and our talents. We can look at everything we own and everywhere we live and everything we've done. We look at our degrees. We look at everything. And sometimes we tend to forget that who we are and what we've done and everything that makes us who we are is only because of the grace of God. And we begin to feel wiser than what we really are. More powerful than what we really are. And I wonder if God has allowed certain things to in your life for you to struggle with to remind you that you're always going to need Him. But notice something about this verse. Verse 3. The Egyptians will lose heart. That's what really just brought all of this to light. To lose heart. To lose heart literally means to be discouraged. That discouragement is what leads you to a loss of hope, confidence, and faith. It's to become helpless. So in all of this, they lost heart. And I felt so passionate about this verse. Because I know that there are many of you here, or listening online right now, that you can relate to losing heart. I'm going to talk to you this morning on the subject of when you've lost your heart, how to find it again. For anyone that's discouraged, discouragement is not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to judge on. Discouragement is something all of us go through. And it's something that's very serious, not only for you, but to God. God concerns Himself when you've lost heart. But notice in verse 20 of this verse what God says here. It will be a sign. Notice, it will be a sign and a witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt when they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors. He will send them a Savior and a Defender, and He will rescue them. So the Lord will make Himself known to Egypt and all the Egyptians, and on that day they will acknowledge the Lord again, and they will worship and sacrifice and give offerings, and they will make vows to the Lord, and He will keep them, and the Lord will heal them. So if you're here this morning and you're discouraged, you've lost your heart, you've lost your hope, you have no enthusiasm for what you're doing anymore and in your life, boy, does God have a word for you. Let's pray. Yeah, give Him praise. Father, for everyone here that's faking it right now, with the smiles and the hand raising and the hellos and all of that good church stuff, Father, I pray that today will be the day you reach and rescue and heal those who have lost heart. Those who are oppressed and discouraged, who have lost hope and confidence. And let this word be healing for us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was reading this article this week that I thought was just perfect for this message, because the article was all about this man right before New Year's or Christmas, I believe. This man was a bus driver in New York City, and one day this guy just disappeared. Right after work, I mean, he was gone. Not only was he missing, the bus went missing. So everyone was frantic. The company, the family of this man, all his friends, they called the police, the FBI even inquired about this. They wanted to know what happened with this man in this bus. Should we be concerned? So for 10 days, this man and this bus were missing. For 10 days, everyone was worried. Everyone was panicking. Everyone thought that this man was taken captive. This man had died. He was murdered. They assumed the worst. Until 10 days later, they found him. You know where they found him? They found him in Miami. And when they found him here in Miami, on the beach, they asked him, what happened? Were you kidnapped? Were you taken against your will? And everyone was just saying, we were so worried about you. We thought you were dead. And when interviewed and questioned what happened, this was his response. I just got tired. So one day after work, when I was about to return the bus, I was so tired. I just felt like disappearing. I was tired, and I quote, I was tired of this weather. I was tired of my family. I was tired of my job. I was tired of people. And I just needed to disappear. And the article read, New York man found alive and well. And I disagreed with that title. They said, alive and well. But yeah, he's alive. But this man is not well. Anyone that can just check out and disappear and leave their friends, their families, their jobs behind without any concern for anyone else, that person needs help. That person is not well. And when I kept reading this, I realized that person could be you. That person has been me. How many times in our lives, like this man, do we get so tired of the routine and the people and the problems and the loneliness and the struggles of everyday life? We get so tired of everything that sometimes within ourselves is this desire to just disappear. Believing that you just need to be alone. No one's going to miss you. No one needs you right now. I just want to go away. You see, this is what it looks like when you've lost heart. This is what it looks like when you've fallen into deep discouragement. You no longer have this enthusiasm and this passion for the everyday life that God has given you. You no longer have this joy about life. So life is no longer enjoyable. It's not something you have joy in. It's something now you just endure. I just gotta go through it. Some of you are in survival mode. Just need to get through this. I just need to survive another Monday. I need to survive another week with my family. I need to survive another month with the bills. I just need to endure. Did you know that you can not only have this attitude of having to endure life, but this attitude can be carried on into your life with God? You know that some of you are enduring church but not enjoying it anymore? Some of you just endure people, but people no longer give you joy. And if you're in this place this morning, and you're in this position where you're just enduring life and you've lost your joy, you've lost your peace, and you just feel like disappearing, you're not alone. This is common. And discouragement is something that affects everyone in every position, no matter what social or economic background you may be in right now. Discouragement hits from the richest people to the poorest people, from people of influence to people of loneliness. Discouragement hits everyone. And it's okay. You might feel like this man. You're saying, God, I just feel like checking out of my marriage. I just feel like checking out of my job. I just feel like checking out of this life. I'm just enduring it. And you've lost heart. You've lost hope and confidence. And you're discouraged. Some of you, the second that clock hit 12 o'clock on New Year's Day, were already discouraged. Discouragement is serious. Discouragement is nothing to be taken lightly. It's not something you say, oh, I'll get over. It's not something you can just ignore. If you've lost your passion for life, if you've lost your passion for God, if you've lost your passion for your purpose, you've lost your heart. And when you have lost your heart, there's some serious effects that happen. Did you know that when you become discouraged, you become spiritually blind to the goodness and love of God? You fall easier into sin when you're discouraged. You think, what's the point? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You feel more guilty and ashamed because, God forbid, you're a Christian, so you should always be happy. When you have lost heart and are discouraged, did you know that you become more selfish? Begin to just think about yourself. Think about this man that just checked out and took the bus with him. He didn't care about his job. He didn't care about his family and friends. He didn't care. Why? Because when you're so discouraged, the focus becomes all about you. You fall into self-pity. You become useless to others. You isolate yourself from others. You don't want to deal with other people. And because this happens, you begin to act and you isolate yourself from people. And that's normal when you're discouraged. But see, the people you can't get away from that are around you, you take it out on them. You begin to act and speak words that are careless towards others. You're more prone to complain and just lash out at people and become more angry and aggressive and frustrated. And I believe what's worse about this is you begin to lose joy, but also your passion for God. And the worst thing that happens, I believe, with discouragement is that you become a discourager. Discouraged people begin to discourage others and bring others down and tell them and remind them how bad things are. Someone can come to you with great news and you shut it down. Someone can tell you that they're happy about something, but then you point out what's wrong. You become negative and critical. Discouraged people become discouragers. And there's a sense of having to bring others down with you. So if you've lost heart and you're living a life of discouragement, you're not alone. The Bible speaks of so many people, great and powerful men and women of God, who we look up to and preach about. These people went through seasons of discouragement. That's how I know it's normal, it's okay, and God understands it.
You think about King David, a man after God's own heart. He made a lot of mistakes. But one of the things that David wrote in the Psalms is how he wished to be a bird. And like, why? I just want to fly away. And just get away. You know that King David saw a bird in the temple and said, I am so jealous of you. Because if you want, you can just pack it up and fly. You know you're crazy. You're discouraged when you envy a bird. You're like, you're so lucky. Think about that when you're at work and you look out the window and you see a bird. You're like, so lucky. But David wanted to just disappear. Because he had all his problems at work, all his problems at home. And all these personal issues within himself. He just wanted to disappear. Think about Elijah, a powerful prophet who prayed and fire came down and there was revival. I mean, this man would heal the dead. He would see miracle upon miracle. And then there's just one chapter where he just gets so discouraged. Because of his failed expectations, he begins to be filled with self-pity. He said, I'm no good, Father. I'm no better than my ancestors. So there it is, a poor me attitude. Y'all can relate to this, right? And then he prays and said, Lord, can you just kill me, please? Can I just die already? And he didn't want to eat, and all he wanted to do was sleep. That is depression at his finest. And this was Elijah, the man of God, who by himself no one would know. If you really knew how discouraged I was. Yet everyone looked up to him. Did you know that discouragement can even happen in the church? Because you're here in this church this morning, it's not one indication that you got it all together. In fact, you may be the most broken one in this church. And that's common. The New Testament, when it was writing to the churches, it was Paul often reminded the Christian brothers and sisters, do not lose heart. So it reminds me that even in the church, in the midst of praise and worship and fellowship and smiles and Bibles and all of that, we can be filled with such deep and disheartening loss of heart and discouragement. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:1. This was written to a church. And Paul says it clearly here. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. There it is. It's his ministry. But we do not lose what? Heart. Why did he have to write this? To warn the ministry. To warn the Christian church people. You can lose it. Church is not for those that have it together. If you want this to be true, I mean, just look around you. Church has a lot of people that are discouraged. I love in chapter 3 of this passage, let me read it there in chapter 3, when Paul's talking about losing heart, he talks about one man. In verse 12, he says, therefore, since we have such hope, you see, Paul says, listen, guys, there is hope. And hope is the expectation of something better. But when you're so discouraged, you no longer believe that things are going to get better in your life. You've kind of settled into this discouragement. And God said, notice this through Paul. He says, therefore, since we have such hope, we're bold. We're very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at while the radiance was fading away. Did you not see this? Paul said to this church, listen, you have hope. You have grace. You have God with you. You have power. You are not like that guy Moses. What was he talking about? In the end of Moses' life, did you know that Moses had one of the closest relationships with God that the Bible talks about? The Bible says that Moses would go up to the mountain and talk to God. So this is a symbol of a powerful relationship with the Lord. The Bible says it was like face to face. God called Moses his friend. So they had a deep, intimate relationship with each other that Moses would just go up and talk to God. And when he came down, I don't know what this looks like, but the Bible said in the Old Testament, Moses began to shine and glow. Not like a pregnancy glow, a real glow. This was like people knew, oh, you were just with God. Oh, I can see it, Moses. Look, he's glowing. See, what people didn't know was this was the early years of his ministry, you might say. But years later, when the people came and the problems happened and the complaining about people's problems happened, and everyone was just using Moses. And Moses, we need you. And Moses, we need you. Moses, where's Moses? Get Moses. Moses. Hey, Moses. 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 There came a point that Moses even prayed to God in his discouragement. God, do me a favor. Kill me. I'm tired. And he said it. I'm tired of your people. Not my people. These are your people. And I'm tired of them. And the Bible tells us that Moses began to lose his glow. He wasn't as radiant as his early years with God. Does that describe you this morning? Could you look back and remember a time that you were radiant because you spent so much time with Jesus? Do you remember being at His Word and in prayer and worship? Did you remember those days you just got alone with God and you would look forward to just meeting with Him? Do you remember those days that worship filled you and you just loved to serve Him? But see, through the years or the months or the weeks of problems and life and struggle, the glow and the radiance begins to fade along with discouragement. When discouragement comes, the fade goes away. The radiance is gone. And that's how so many people live their lives. And what's truly sad about this passage is the Bible says we're not like Moses. Because Moses, when he came down, the Bible says he got a veil and covered himself so that people would not know that he wasn't the same Moses. Do you know how many people come to the church today? And they just cover up the truth of who they really are inside? And there's this fear that if people knew exactly what I felt, if people knew how discouraged I was, if people knew that I'm not as close to God as I used to be, there's no telling what they're going to say about me. There's no telling what they're going to think about me. And I just can't let people know what I'm really going through. And God said here, you are not Moses. You don't have to cover it up. You can come boldly to God, He says. You can come confidently to me and stop hiding the fact that you're not as in love with me as you used to be. The fact that you're struggling with disappointment and discouragement. You don't have to hide this from God because He already knows. And I don't want to be this church that you have to come here and cover up the truth. Why? Because then you can never find the healing you need. Because you hide it. I want this to be a church with no veils. And you tell God, Lord, I'm discouraged. And I'm not the same person I used to be with you. And God, sometimes I want to disappear. See, losing heart. God says first, it's common. And it's not something that you should be ashamed of. However, it is something you should not accept. It is something you shouldn't just accept as a way of life. So yeah, you've lost your heart. This is why God often told people, take heart. Because even though if you've lost it, you can get it back. If you're here right now and you're breathing, you can get it back. Saying, Pastor, you don't know me. I don't know you. God does. And that's what matters. You'd be the first person ever in history that God says, oh, I can't help you. And trust me, you're not that special. God can heal you and help you. But you need to acknowledge what's under the veil. God, I don't have the same glow I used to. Because of everything I've seen, everything I've gone through, everything that's hurt me. But God wants you to know this morning that you can take your heart back and have joy again in your life. And I know it's hard to believe, but I'm telling you this because Jesus said it. In John 16:33, he's talking to his disciples who were discouraged. They were discouraged because they were going through some trials. They didn't know what was going to happen in their future. That might be you right now. You're saying, Pastor, I'm just going through so much and the future is just so uncertain right now. And I just feel discouraged. Jesus knew his disciples were discouraged. And notice what he tells them. I've told you these things so that in me, notice, in me you may have what? Peace. But here's a bigger picture. You may have it. You may have it. But see, just because it's accessible doesn't mean you're taking it. Jesus said, hey, you can have peace right now. The problems hasn't changed. You're still in the same mess. Nothing's gotten fixed. You still don't know what's going to happen, but you can still have peace. How? In me. And I love how Jesus just confirms this. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. So Jesus said, listen. See, if I'm trying to encourage people, this is not the approach I take. But Jesus was just downright honest. And he said, listen, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's going to happen. But notice how he finishes this. But take heart. See, because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, and this trouble is going to cause you to lose heart only if you let it. But then God says, take heart. And that word take in the Greek is a word that literally translates to take position and just possess it. So God says, you can possess your heart again if you've lost it. You think, well, why and how? He said, because I have overcome the world. That same world that's filled with trouble and disheartening things. I have overcome that world and I am with you. You say, well, because I know my church. Well, that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus.
That's easy for him. That was Jesus, the water walker. So it's easy for Jesus to say that because he was God. But does he really know what I'm going through because he was sinless? So let me shut that down for you real quick. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. And I'm going to close with this verse. So then, the writer of Hebrews says, since we have this great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. And notice what he says here. This high priest of ours understands our weakness. You know, the Bible says Jesus understands you. He understands your weakness. How is that even possible that God can understand my pain, my loneliness, my rejection, my struggle? And the Bible says, yes, Jesus understands our weakness. So when Jesus looks at you crying yourself at night, when he sees you angry and upset and discouraged, he doesn't look at you and say, oh, shame on you. You should know better. You're a Christian. Oh, you're going to go to church tomorrow with that attitude? Some of you woke up, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't get up, Lord. And he's like, I understand that. God looks at you right now. He sees your pain. He sees everything you're going through. And I promise you, the one thing Jesus says right now is, I understand you. I understand you. And you're thinking, how does God understand me? He doesn't work where I work. He's not married to who I'm married to. He doesn't know. How can he understand? Because the thing that happens with discouragement is this false perception that no one understands you. So you're on your own. But notice the Bible says, for he faced all of the same testings we do. And yet did not sin. See, if your problems right now, Jesus says, oh, I know what that feels like. Oh, I know what it feels like to hit a dead end. I know what it feels like to be alone because my Father forsaked me too. Oh, I know what it is to have your best friend leave you and sell you out. And then some people get so smart with God, they say, well, he doesn't understand my sin because he was sinless. So how can he understand my shame and my guilt of my past? Can I tell you one mind-blowing truth? He took your sin on himself. So that very sin that you're so ashamed of, Jesus knows exactly what you're feeling because he took that sin away and put it on himself. So can we just simmer down and believe now that Jesus understands you? He understands me? There is nothing in within your emotions that Jesus says, I don't know how to help you. I don't know. Who better to help you than someone that has gone through what you've gone through? See, for example, when my mom was sick with cancer, the people that could minister to her were those that went through cancer. I couldn't tell her anything. I couldn't say it's okay, no, because I don't know what that's like. The people that can help you through a divorce are those that have been divorced themselves. The people that can minister to you when you've lost a child are those who have lost a child.
The greatest people that can heal you are those that know what you're going through. That's why Jesus is saying, I know what you are feeling right now. I've been there. But take heart. Because if I overcame it, so will you, because I'm with you. So if you're here today and you're discouraged, it's vital that you get your heart back. And your heart is not going to come back through a pretty sermon I preach. It's not going to come back through the, that means a feeling of, okay, I'm going to be okay. No. It's not this false idea of, okay, I'm just going to have a positive attitude. It's not going to heal you. Because the Bible says, only I can heal you. Why is it so vital that you take your heart back? Did you notice in the opening verse when they lost heart, the river dried up? When the river dried up, there was no water for the fields. Because there was no water for the fields, there was no crops to plant. Because there was no crops to plant, there was no job for the people. Because there was no job for the people, there was no money to be spent. Because there was no money to be spent, there was no clothes to buy. Because there was no clothes to buy, the people stopped making clothes. The people started starving and everything fell apart. And the Lord spoke to me of Monday. Monday is when I got this word. And when the Lord speaks on my day off, it's serious. When you lose heart, there's a chain reaction. And everything around you begins to get affected. When you lose heart, it would affect you, your relationships, your family, your finances, your job, your ministry, your attitude. Everything will begin to fall because you have fallen. There are people that need you to be well. There are people that depend on you to be well. Your kids need you. Your wife needs you. Everyone around you needs you. God has put them in your life to be their source of strength. But if the source is dry, it's no wonder everything around you begins to fall. So everything there began to dry up. And it formed this chain reaction of hopelessness, and everything was going wrong because of one problem. The loss of heart. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, guard your heart, because out of it is the wellspring of your life. And that spring that the Bible talks about was the main source for a major city or town. So God says, if your heart is not right, everything else is going to be affected. You guys get this? Let me modernize this. And if God wrote the Bible in this age, He would write it like this. Guard the battery on your iPhone. Seriously, He would. And you're saying, Pastor, that's just weird, but that's how He would say it. How many of you are like me? Your phone is just beat up. Beat up. I can't have a new phone. I refuse to spend $1,000, by the way. But my phone, I live a pretty active life, and my phone is just shattered. I shattered it the first week. First week, brand new phone, just broken. Shattered. Messed up. And I looked at my phone this morning and I said, God, I feel like this. And I know we just started this year, but Lord, I feel pretty beat up. Pretty shattered. You know what's crazy though? It still works. So I adjusted the shatteredness to my phone. I was like, I can go past that little squiggly line. I can see it. So I'm fine. Let me tell you. You're broken. You've gone through things that have shattered you. But you're fine. You're fine. Some of you carry the brokenness. You carry the pain. Yeah, but you're fine. But you know what happens though? When my battery drains, that's when everything in my phone shuts down. So when my battery is drained, there is no Google, there is no bank account, there is no direction, there is no Spotify, there is no worship then, there is no this, no that, no emails, no nothing. Everything falls. When my battery drains. See, the problem is not that life beats you. The problem is not that you're shattered. The problem is when you live through life drained, it affects everything around you. See, we say, I'm tired. I'm tired and I'm tired. The truth is, you're not tired. You're drained. You're depleted. It means to be used up of your source. So God says, I can work when you're damaged. I can work when you're shattered. I can work when you're broken. But your life is going to fall apart when you're drained. That's what God meant when He said the wellspring of your life is your heart. That's why every phone was designed with a port. And that port says, daily, I need to reconnect with a higher source of power. That's why Jesus said, abide in me, connect with me, and you will bear much fruit. So God told the people of Egypt in verse 20, you'll call on me and I'll answer you. And I'll heal you. And I'll rescue you. And I'll save you. And I will just bring you back to restoration. What's the answer for discouragement? It's reconnecting with God, because He can help you take your heart back. Get back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm broken, I'm shattered, and I can work with that. But Lord, when I'm drained, I can't raise my family, I can't have a healthy marriage, I can't do church, I can't work right, I don't even drive right when I'm drained. So you're depleted. And God says, call on me, and I'll heal you. Let's bow our heads, let's pray today. If you're here this morning, you're saying, God, I've lost my heart. For a second, let me pray for you for a minute here. Lord, I pray right now that the veils will come off. The people that are here, that are faking their faith, their happiness, their joy. The people who have lost their radiance. The people here this morning or listening online, Lord, that have lost heart. And they're saying, God, I'm just drained. And because I'm drained, it's affecting everything I'm doing. Lord, thank you that you understand us. And you are not far. With that said, if you're here this morning, I believe that the Lord wants to heal you right now. You're going to be beat. You're going to be shattered. You're going to be broken. But don't let yourself be drained again. The Lord loves you. And the Lord is your source of power, your strength. However far you may be from Him, you can always call on Him. Some of you need to give up. Just surrender to God already. Don't live another day discouraged. Because the Bible says you can overcome. If this is you this morning, I invite you to stand to your feet. You say, Pastor, I need to stand up for the Lord right now. I need Him to heal me of my broken heart. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, Lord, I need to surrender my life to You once and for all. The Lord loves you and the Lord has forgiven your sin and He understands you. But you need to give your life over to the Lord in order for Him to fix it. The Lord can fix what you haven't surrendered. It's that simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You agree that Jesus is God, that He died on the cross for your sins because you are a sinner, and you agree that He's the only way to salvation, and you surrender your life to Him. But the Lord cannot fix what you have not surrendered. So if this is you today, I also invite you to stand to your feet and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. So if you're here and you're saying, I'm discouraged, if you're here and you're saying, Lord, I just need to surrender my life to You, then you just stand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's all stand then. Let's stand together as a church and pray. Father, I thank You for this message. I thank You for this word. So, Father, we're broken, we're shattered, but if we're drained, that's why we're hopeless. And we know that everything around us is affected when we have been discouraged. So for anyone here, Lord, that's discouraged this morning, I pray, Lord, that You would give them the source of their strength that they need. That's You. And as they leave this church today, let them leave with a newfound hope and glory that You are with them and You have overcome. And in Jesus' name, whatever you're faced with today, you will overcome. Just continue to lean on the Lord. Seek Him daily in prayer and worship. And the Lord will give you the supernatural grace and mercy that will help you overcome whatever area of life is overcoming you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this word and for this healing. We love You, Lord. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise. You guys were blessed today.